Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight, and I'm very excited to be back with you here this evening on Monday, a short week for us, a short week back from the weekend. My apologies, wasn't here last night, a bit of a short notice, but we're back here tonight. We've got a great show for you, although there's really not much to discuss, have to tell you. As we are winding down Groiper War Phase 1, and behind the scenes we are gearing up for Groiper War Phase 2, there's really not much happening. Things have settled down, things have relaxed a little bit, and honestly, I needed it. I think a lot of you needed it. We have the holiday coming up, Thanksgiving this week. Christmas is soon. People are quite busy this time of year. If you're in school, you've got midterms, you've got finals, you know, if you're at your job. I don't know. What do wages do? Can't really relate. I don't know what happens around this time of year for wages. So things are a little bit up in the air, but I have to say, I was doing my research for the show today. Nothing's happening. Nothing in the world is happening at all. And while the Groiper War was going on, I was thinking to myself, like, okay, when's this thing going to end? When can we get back to the real news? When can we get back to current events? And only come to find out that nothing is happening. It seems like the whole world has stopped while Groiper War is happening. So tonight, our featured story, we're going to be talking about the border wall. We have a little bit of an update on that. I believe the official number is still zero in terms of new border wall that has been constructed. Of course, this administration has built replacement border barrier. We've built up these steel bollard fences, 18 foot tall steel bollard fences in areas where we already had barrier, but I believe we have yet to build, it might be one, it might be two, we've yet to build something like more than 5 miles of actual new border barrier on the southern border. But the good news is we have somebody new in charge of that. Today it was announced that President Trump put Jared Kushner in charge of the border wall. So if you thought that Donald Trump wasn't cutting it, if you thought he wasn't getting the job done, well, now he's put in place the liberal Jewish Zionist, Jared Kushner, and he's going to get the job done. And I'll tell you, you know, I have mixed feelings about this, and these are the takes that I've seen online. Some of the usual suspects, like Michelle Malkin, Columbia Bugle, a lot of these characters are not happy about this, because we know that Jared Kushner is not really America First. We know that Jared Kushner is not even really conservative. Jared and Ivanka are liberals, and we've known this from the beginning. So, of course, there is some rightful skepticism about how much progress he can possibly make on something where his heart really isn't in it. On the other side, I've seen people like Ryan Gerdusky and others who have said that Jared Kushner might actually be more effective than somebody like Stephen Miller. You know, we've seen that there's been a particular problem in the administration that one of the premier immigration hawks, or one of the most prominent immigration hawks, Stephen Miller, has actually been outright hostile to bringing in other restrictionists, other America First patriots like Kris Kobach, like others, into the fold in the White House. So there's sort of a mixed reaction, mixed sentiment about this development, which I'll talk about in detail. That'll be our featured story. We'll also be going over a couple of articles about Groiper War, some epilogue type things to sort of see where we're at with that, what the reaction is. We'll be looking at an article from Haaretz. I think that's how you pronounce it, Haaretz. It's this left-wing Israeli publication which wrote about us, and we'll also be looking at a Catholic article from Matthew Schmitz. Matthew Schmitz of the, I think it's First Things is where it was published initially, but I also saw it in Catholic Herald. He wrote about us, and it's interesting that the Groipers really are finding enemies all over the place. Usual suspects coming out and disavowing us, and nobody's surprised about this. But then it's also people that should be in support of us, all these pussies at, what is it, American Conservative and Catholic Herald and all these other gay publications are now coming out and saying, oh, Nick Fuentes is so offensive, he's so racist. It's like American Conservative was founded by Patrick Buchanan, you know? Daily Caller, which is, you know, which we know is stupid, and has been for a long time. Even they were founded by Tucker Carlson. Not that we're surprised at them, but it is so interesting that all these publications that were founded by based in red pill people in short order have been co-opted by fags, been co-opted by losers. So we'll get into all of this. We'll dive in. It'll be a fun and eventful show. I'm high energy. I'm excited. I'm well rested. You know, as I said, I wasn't able to be here yesterday, feeling a little bit under the weather, feeling a little bit fatigued and tired. It's been a long 8 weeks, I have to tell you. You know, what you may not realize, people who are commenting on my posts when I cancel the show and saying, oh, mad work ethic. Nice work ethic, Nick. What those people might not understand is that I've been just going constantly since Miami, which was at the end of September. So I've just been going nonstop for 8 weeks, traveling. I think I've been traveling almost every weekend for the last 8 weeks. Florida a couple of times. I've been to Michigan. I've been to Indiana. I've been all over hosting people, going other places, streams, gaming streams, the show, phone calls. It's been a lot. So I deserve a little bit of a day off. All right, relax. I was a little bit under the weather. Wasn't really feeling it yesterday, but we're back tonight, and it's going to be high energy. I just want to talk about one thing before we dive into our articles, before we dive into the news. There's one thing that has been bothering me so much, and we've talked about it a little bit, I think, during the Super Chat portion here and there, but it deserves to be addressed head on. Maybe it's a little bit late, but this Epstein didn't kill himself thing, I know that that's kind of like old news at this point. It's been a couple of weeks since that thing really took off, but I'm still seeing it. I'm still seeing it. I saw, okay, look, here's what prompted this. Right before I go on the air tonight, right before I go live, I see Ashley St. Clair, and look, I know we're cool now. I don't have beef with her anymore. We haven't been fighting that much, but here's the thing. Right before I go live, I think I saw her on Instagram or on Twitter, and she posted a picture of her wearing a Christmas sweater, and it says Epstein didn't kill himself. And I've just been seeing this everywhere for the past 3 weeks, and I know we've talked about it before, but this is possibly the worst development of 2019, maybe the most frustrating, the most blackpilling, definitely one of the worst things of the year, and understand why. I don't know at what point this occurred. I don't know who started this. I think it was Joe Rogan or somebody like this at some point recently that turned it from something that was very serious, gravely serious, one might say, and turned it into a big joke, turned it into some Reddit tier meme, you know, like Bush did 9/11 or jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams, you know, whatever that is. It's like, look, listen, 9/11 was bullshit, okay? They knew about it. Everybody knew about it. Russia knew about it. Israel knew about it. I think people in the CIA knew about it. And for like 10 years, they turned it into a joke. They turned it into a big meme where, oh, Bush did 9/11. So some jerk-off college kid says it, and it's just a big punchline. And the same thing now is happening with Jeffrey Epstein, where over the summer, you may or may not have remembered that Jeffrey Epstein was being held in jail. Jeffrey Epstein was arrested for the second time. You know, he was arrested, I think, in 2006 or 2007, and charged in connection with pedophilia and child sex trafficking and all that. He was brought back to jail this year, and he was about to squeal or could have given us the scoop on the British royal family, on American celebrities, Hollywood, American financiers, the Mossad, Israel, all kinds of foreign governments being involved in a child sex trafficking ring. He was in jail for that reason. They were going to make a deal. They were going to get him to reveal his secrets. He had dirt on everybody. And we all know what happened over the summer, that he committed suicide. And we all knew all the ridiculous details surrounding this. You know, this guy was one of the most high-profile prisoners of this century. Of this century. One of the highest profile. And he knew the most high-profile people involved in the most high-profile and sickest crimes in the world. And they had him in jail. And do you remember all the details where it was like the two people that were supposed to be watching him, they were working overtime the whole week. One of them was like, it was his first day on the job. They had cameras inside and outside the cell, both malfunctioned. He was supposed to have a cellmate, but just didn't. He tried to commit suicide earlier. I guess he tried to strangle himself. That was a narrative, which is absurd. He got taken off suicide watch after 2 weeks. I mean, so there were so many extenuating circumstances where everybody knew he didn't kill himself. Everybody knew exactly what happened. He was in there. He was this high-profile guy. He had the dirt on all the people, and they couldn't let him survive. They couldn't let him talk. So they went in and killed him. And the worst part about that is that they knew, and we know that they knew, that everybody would understand exactly what happened. You know, in other words, they weren't even trying to hide what happened over the summer, that they killed him. And in some sense, they were sending a message to everybody. They were sending a message that if you've got dirt on us, if you know what's going on, we'll kill you. And everybody can know about it, and it won't even matter, because that's how powerful we are. We can go in with this high-profile case. We could kill this guy in prison. We can get anyone, anywhere, and we don't care who knows it, because that's how powerful we are. The fix is in. And how many months later now, you've got, and look, you know, I don't want to start, it's not about her in particular, but you see it all over the place now, Benny Johnson, all these characters, now they want to make it a big joke. And remember, Epstein didn't kill himself. And everyone's supposed to laugh, and everyone's supposed to laugh and say, oh, that's so funny. Oh, that's so crazy. Wow, what a silly, wacky, crazy thing to say. It's not silly. It's not a joke. This guy got $1 billion because he was supposed to be the hitman, you know, so to speak, and get all the people, get, you know, the secret footage or the secret recordings of people involved with children on Epstein Island or Lolita Express or whatever, and he got killed in jail and nobody cares, and now it's a joke. So, I know that's been going around for like a week and a half now, a week or two. I haven't had a chance to address it head on because of Groyper Wars, but I still see it and it still makes my skin crawl. Not funny. It ain't no joke though. It's like Kanye West said, it ain't no joke. It's not a joke, okay? Jeffrey Epstein is not a joke, but they've made it a joke, and I think that just goes to show, you know, if it didn't convince you that they killed him and got away with it and everybody knew about it, now that everybody knows about it and they made it into a joke, they made it into a meme, I don't know, if that doesn't convince you the kind of sorcery that's at work, I don't know what will. So, anyway, I had to bring that up. Had to talk about that, had to go off about that, but don't want to spend too much time because we've got more pressing things to discuss, but just something to keep in mind, it's not a joke. It's not something to laugh about. You know, joking about cookies is funny, and we can talk about that. Joking about Jeffrey Epstein is not funny. But we're going to dive in here. Like I said, we're going to cover a couple of these articles. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I do want to get to the border wall. We've got an article here from Matthew Schmitz, and he wrote for the Catholic Herald. I forgot. I don't think I have the headline in front of me. Just a minute. I can pull it up here. Here we go. So, like I said, Matthew Schmitz, who I had never heard of until today, he wrote for the Catholic Herald an article called, quote, "How Classical Liberals Paved the Way for White Nationalists." This is Matthew Schmitz. And he writes this article basically talking about the Groypers and saying some pretty nasty stuff about us. And the contention of this article, again, from a Catholic, from a supposedly traditionalist Catholic publication, is that liberalism in America must be shut down. Free speech in this country must be shut down. The Constitution must be shut down. Now, normally, when I hear this from traditional Catholics, I'm like, okay, I'm listening. Okay, based. All right, you've got my attention, you know, shutting down the Constitution. Catholics are in favor of this. I'm like, I'm listening. But it's great. He doesn't say we should shut down the First Amendment to stop sodomites or to stop abortion or to stop Marxism or leftism or Jewish lies about Jesus Christ. No, Matthew Schmitz says we need to shut down liberalism in America so that we could get rid of those awful white nationalists who are making jokes about the Holocaust. That's the gist of the article. He writes, quote, "In order to defeat the white nationalists and anti-Semites, conservatives must become less liberal. Only a conservatism that praises restraint and discretion will have weapons to fight those who are, quote, just asking questions about the Holocaust. Only a conservatism that abjures, quote, viewpoint neutrality will be able to side with truth against lies. Conservatives must be ready to say that the Freedom Toast Drag Queen Story Hour is not a blessing of liberty. At the same time, they must be able to say loud and clear that they oppose white nationalists and anti-Semites, especially ones that wrap themselves in Christian garb. Our civilizational inheritance is spiritual, not racial. We were taught by a Jew to love. We were not taught to hate Jews. Really? This is from a Catholic? We were taught by a Jew to love. I think that's an oversimplification, don't you think? By the way, I don't think that Jesus was a Jew in the modern vernacular. I think that's actually blasphemous to say that. You know, because of course, the Jews today are rabbinical Talmudic Jews, not quite the same thing. The modern day Jews say that our Savior is burning in hell. I don't think he's cut from the same cloth. Anyway, he finishes off the article. He says, classical liberals have built a conservative movement that valorizes, quote, dangerous ideas, thereby allowing people whose ideas are dangerous indeed to gain a foothold. That is why in the latest conservative debate, both sides need to lose. And to me, this is just so rich. You know, we've been going over a lot of these articles in the past few weeks, and we've read a few from Charlie Kirk, and we've read the mainstream media, Washington Post, a few others. And like I said at the top of the show, you expect people to defame us and what we're doing when they're of the left, right? Or they're from the mainstream. You expect the Washington Post. And funnily enough, the Washington Post actually did a pretty good job explaining what we're about. You know, even the Guardian. I thought, you know, for a mainstream source, I thought they were pretty fair, right? But in any case, you expect left-wing publications. You expect mainstream publications. Even to an extent, you expect some conservative publications like National Review or The Blaze to not understand what we're getting at. Or, you know, I should say to completely understand what we're getting at and work tirelessly to defame it and discredit it and delegitimize it. In other words, you know, you expect all the mainstream or Jewish or liberal publications to say that all we are alt-right too, white supremacist, alt-right, you know, anti-Semitic. Right? I mean, that's par for the course. But the worst thing is, this is not the first article I've seen from a publication like this. We see American Conservative. There's multiple articles calling me the same names. You see, now it's the Catholic Herald, it's First Things. It's all these publications where the expectation is there would be some common ground. You know, when I read so-called Catholic integralists or trad Catholics, and they're talking about shutting down liberalism, typically, it makes sense. Typically, they are talking about Drag Queen Story Hour. That's the thrust of the article, not a passing remark. You know, usually here, at least in my circles on Twitter, I hear Catholics and they're talking about using the state or shutting down liberalism so that we could stop evil, so that we could stop the spread of deviancy, the destruction of the family, the corruption of the children. You know, that's typically when I'm hearing it. So I read this article and it's just like, inside out. It's like bizarro world. Like, okay, we're understanding that dangerous ideas are flourishing because of liberalism. I don't think those dangerous ideas are immigration restriction, right? Or making edgy jokes online. I'm thinking more about the Drag Story Hour. I'm thinking about the advertisements for the drag queens, the gay pride parades, this abortion, baby killing, infanticide stuff, feminism. I'm thinking about gender ideology, this gender abolition that's occurring. But this guy says, no, conservatives must be ready to say that freedom to host drag queen is not a blessing of liberty. That's the passing remark. But at the same time, and this is the main thrust of the article, we have to shut down white nationalism and shut down anti-Semites and shut down liberalism in order to do it. I also think it's rich. He says conservatives must be able to say loud and clear they oppose white nationalism. Oh, is that not the case? Is that not the case? Does that not already exist? I'm sorry, what world are we living in that people are afraid? People are afraid to liberally apply the term white nationalism, right? What planet are, what country are we in where somebody has to say, conservatives must stand loud and clear. They must be able to stand loud and clear against racism. As if, what, is that like difficult? Is that like challenging? You get doxxed going up against racism. You get a lot of heat for going up against naming racism. And really, that's the fundamental contention is, you know, we can say these guys are hypocrites. We can say that, you know, you're not really a Catholic if you're more concerned about immigration restriction than you are about everything else that's happening in the society. But even beyond that, to me, the most fundamental point is that everybody who's attacking us from American Conservative and from Catholic Herald are cowards. They are moral cowards. We expect, like I said, hypocrisy from Ben Shapiro. When we say Ben Shapiro is a moral coward, because he won't debate me. Well, I mean, that's one thing. When you've got Catholics who are attacking other Catholics, attacking fellow travelers who are out there on the front lines in the battlefield, they're in the arena fighting against, you know, for example, one of our main pillars is the perversion. You know, we're advancing social conservatism. We're advancing Catholic values. They're attacking us vehemently, smearing us, defaming us with the same mainstream media smears invented by the SPLC, Right Wing Watch, the ADL. This is moral cowardice of the highest order. And I put this out on Twitter today. I said, you know, the difference between Catholics talking about degeneracy and the decline of the family and so on, and talking about us, is one requires courage and one doesn't. To take a stand against Ben Shapiro, who blasphemes Jesus Christ, is hard, because to call out any Jewish person is perceived a certain way. And so you get a lot of heat from the media, and maybe you lose your job, right? Or maybe you lose a paycheck. Maybe it's difficult to get by. That's what we're doing. That's we're putting ourselves on the line. We're taking risks. We're actually doing something difficult and controversial, risky, because we're courageous. That's the difference between me and Matthew Schmitz. That's the difference between the Groypers and all these yuppies that read AmCon and that read these magazines. It's the easiest thing in the world to write one of these, you know, articles for one of these publications and, you know, with this sanctimony about Nick Fuentes and he makes these horrible jokes and come up with all the most clever ways, like Soab Ramari, to call me evil and sick and a snot-nosed brat and so on. It's easy to attack a 21-year-old with no institutional backing, who, by the way, everybody in the whole world is attacking, and on the grounds that global homo advances every day, which is racist, anti-Semitic, white nationalist. You know, so I see this, and, you know, this is probably one of the most disappointing things, is all the people that are exposing themselves as a result of this. You know, we are working to expose the usual suspects, Charlie Kirk, Ben Shapiro, and so on, to the masses, but in turn, what's being exposed to all of us is people who we might have thought were on our side, or maybe on the fence, or were sympathetic, people who I thought there was an expectation might come out to bat if we made it easier. You know, if we blazed the trail and we were the pioneers and we took the brunt of the counterattacks, I would think that some of these people would be able to jump in. And now that we've sort of taken the worst of it from the media, they would find their courage and join in behind us. But you're seeing across the board, it's not even just the Catholics, it's not even just the paleocons. You know, you see somebody like Stefan Molyneux. You see a lot of these characters who you might have expected when we were going to go out there and tell the truth and name them and everything and expose grifters, you would expect they'd be on our team. And so, like I said, while on the one hand we're exposing the grifters that we know exist to the masses, the grifters within our own ranks, or who we thought we could count on, are exposing themselves to us. So I see this kind of thing and I just shake my head. Everybody sees what this is. Unlike Matthew Schmitz, unlike that purple guy from American Conservative last week, we don't have to get on our high horse and write articles, you know, and be really clever and pull out the thesaurus and, you know, convince everybody how morally righteous we are by how viciously we condemn everybody else. You know, I don't have to write an article for my website and say, Matthew Schmitz is a sniveling guy and he's uniquely evil and impress everybody with my prose and how good of a writer I am. Because everybody sees what this is about. You know, I just look at this and I'm not impressed. I'm not moved by this. You know, he can call me whatever he wants. They can call the Groypers whatever they want. They get this breathless condemnation of white nationalism. Nobody's impressed anymore. We see what the game is. We've been playing the game for 20... I've been playing the game my whole life. I'm 21. We've seen this stuff for 20 years. Everybody can see this and knows exactly what it is. And I hope, you know, somebody like Matthew Schmitz and all the rest, they understand that very serious people are losing respect for these publications and these writers who, they talk the talk, and that's what people do in this industry, is all they do is talk. They write words and they say words, but when push comes to shove, and there might actually be consequences in the real world, tangible consequences with actions, well, they're nowhere to be found. You know, so all these people in American Conservative and these other publications that they want to write about how, you know, technology's hurting us and capitalism's hurting us and the family's going away and the globalists are hurting us and so on. And they want to write about it and they want to talk about it and they want to complain. But when one person, right, or a movement of young people shows up to these events and we just start asking the questions, and yeah, we're not perfect. Yeah, I've said nasty things. And sure, not every groiper has been perfect and whatever, but we've been pretty damn close to perfect, I would say. But when people get on the front lines and start pushing the issue, and there's actually a chance to have the confrontation with our enemies within our own ranks, all of a sudden now all they want to do is talk about racist, anti-Semite, white nationalist. We see what this is. And so I'm disappointed by this. I'm sad to see this article, you know, shame on you. And I'll also add, for what it's worth, you know, this stuff about Jews. Look, frankly, when you're a Catholic, you should know better. That's all I'll say about that. You know, when they talk about this anti-Semitism, we were taught by a Jew to love, really? Shame on you. That's blasphemy to say something like that. Because everybody knows, and, you know, if we have more people watching this tonight, you know, we have a lot of new viewers recently because of the Groiper Wars. It might be worth reminding people there's a big difference between Jesus Christ and the descendants of David and all this and the Jews we know today. The Jews we know today, what are they defined by? They're defined by their rejection of Christ. If they claim to be descendants of David and Abraham and all this, what distinguishes them from Christians? They were the ones that did not recognize that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. So all this Judeo-Christian stuff and what we're all going to pretend, that Jews and Christians have been like this forever, that's the whole story. The whole story even of the gospel. Have you read the gospel? Who do you think condemned Jesus Christ to be crucified? Who do you think it was? It wasn't the white nationalists, right? It wasn't the racists or the anti-Semites. I think we know who it was. What did they say? Crucify him, crucify him. I don't know. Did I read a different book than you guys, right? That's what defines the difference. And what holy book do they subscribe to? Do they just subscribe to the gospel in the New Testament, or do they subscribe to the Talmud? And what does it say in the Talmud? This is whatever, you know, if Jewish people have a holy book, I'll tell you, newsflash, not the Torah, it's the Talmud. And what does the Talmud say about Jesus Christ? It says that his mother was a prostitute. It says that he was degenerate. It says that he's burning in hell and excrement. It says all his followers are going there with him. You know, so a Catholic is going to write, in the modern context of what Judaism is, he's going to say that Jesus was a Jew who taught us to love? Really? That's what you got from the gospel? What's wrong with you? So, you know, look, we can only say so much. We can only shame the Matt Walshes, Michael Knowles, these kinds of characters of the world. But ultimately, we're not the ones that have to be judged for this. They will have to be judged, and they'll have to think long and hard about their lies, their calumny, and about the blasphemy, and who they work for and who they work with. Because, you know, this Judeo-Christian thing, I gotta tell you, there's a big problem with it. Big problem with it. There's no such thing. All this talk about Judeo-Christian values, that's what we hear from Ben Shapiro and all this. That's a really convenient phrase. Because, you know, for the past two millennia, the story of Jews and Christians has been conflict. You know, maybe in the last 100 years, maybe in the last 70 years, there's been this alliance, which, I don't know, it seems like it was a little forced. Is that anti-Semitic to say? But before that, some pretty nasty stuff. I don't know, are we just going to paper over and whitewash the history of these relations? And I'm just saying as an historical fact. Is that anti-Semitic to talk about the historical record here? So, I mean, all of the Groiper War partisan stuff notwithstanding, let's do a little fact-checking here. Catholics are going to be really on the prowl about anti-Semitism. It's like, let's think about that word. Let's think about what we're talking about here. Let's remember who we really have to be afraid of. And I'll tell you, it's not the ADL. It's not the SPLC. You know, they may judge us here, but that's not who's judging us later. So I'll just put that out there. Matthew Schmitz telling us, oh, Jesus was a Jew. You know, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. We were talking, you know, okay. So I think I've said my piece on that. It's worth reminding. I know probably a lot of people in my audience are familiar with this, but in case you aren't. So anyway, so that's a Catholic perspective, but we also have another article from the Israelis, you know, and this is a little bit more par for the course, is a little bit more expected. This is more of our run-of-the-mill criticism from this Israeli publication. Like I said, it's Haaretz. They did an article about us, basically calling on the president to condemn the Groypers. So by the way, it's a Zionist Jew, Israeli Zionist Jew from Israel. He's in Israel. He's in another country, and he's calling on the American president to disavow us. And he actually writes a little bit about the history of the Groyper Wars. I actually think this is a great article. This is a great article to sort of extrapolate on some of the ideas I've been talking about for the past few weeks. And I don't have the author's name here, but he writes in this article for Haaretz. He says, quote, as unique as Trump's impact on American politics has been, this is not the first time the modern conservative movement has faced such a challenge. In the early 1960s, extremists from the John Birch Society, who peddled racism, anti-Semitism, and conspiracy theories that are in line with those of today's alt-right, were establishing a foothold in the growing conservative wing of the Republican Party that would soon take over the GOP. It was at that moment that American conservatism's intellectual leader, William F. Buckley, stepped in and made it clear that John Birchers would not be welcome in the movement or in the Republican Party. Buckley ultimately succeeded. The Birchers were forced to retreat to the fever swamps of American politics for decades, albeit only to reemerge recently in the form of the alt-right. In no small measure, Buckley's efforts repeated again in the early 1990s when he banned Buchanan and Joseph Sobran from the pages of his magazine, National Review, because of their anti-Semitism, made the electoral victories of Ronald Reagan and Newt Gingrich possible. So Buckley firing Patrick Buchanan made Ronald Reagan possible. Okay. So it is not without significance that a group Buckley founded nearly 60 years ago to spread conservatism on college campuses, the Young American Foundation, has taken the first step toward isolating the Groypers and those who condone them. YAF has taken Malkin, who was a prominent spokesperson for the group for 17 years, off of its speakers list because of her refusal to disavow Fuentes. That's encouraging. But if this contagion is to be stamped out, it will require more than that. Republicans may be primarily focused on opposing impeachment and working for GOP wins in November 2020. But the longer the White House fails to channel the spirit of Bill Buckley, fails to explicitly condemn the new alt-right, and fails to make it clear that Trump rejects them, the danger for both conservatism, American society, as well as American Jews will only grow. So this is more standard fare, you know. I mean, cucked Catholics are nothing new. I'm Catholic, but I'm nothing like a, you know, Schmitz or anything like that. But this is a little bit more standard for what we see on this show, an Israeli publication. And in the first place, you got to wonder, you know, as I alluded to earlier, why is it that a foreign national is so concerned about American domestic politics? Don't you find that interesting? Don't you find that so weird? Like, I think it was pretty red-pilling when Benjamin Netanyahu, you might remember this, I covered this like a year ago, he was making these statements from his office. I don't know what they call it in Israel, but he was making these televised addresses or these recorded messages from his prime minister's office in English, presumably addressed to the American people, talking about why war with Iran is a good idea. This was like in 2018. He came out with a series of several videos over maybe 7 or 8 months where he would be filmed at his desk, you know, like one of these presidential addresses, and he would talk about how, you know, for example, an Iranian athlete refused to compete with an Israeli athlete because they're anti-Semitic, and that means we should go to war with Iran. And he did another video where he talked about how the Iranian people are oppressed and what has to go is the Iranian regime. And he did all these videos in English. And I'm sitting there wondering, why is the Israeli prime minister, where I'm pretty sure they speak Hebrew, right, or Yiddish, or whatever, I don't know, whatever this, I don't want to say that, but you know, it looks kind of creepy. Their letters, and it sounds kind of grating on the ears. Whatever language they have, why are the presidential addresses not in that language? why is Benjamin Netanyahu giving these addresses in English? They're addressed to an American audience. Why? Why is the Israeli prime minister making messages addressed to the American audience? Well, then you think about the message. The message is invade Iran, go to war with Iran. The prime minister of Israel is trying to persuade Americans, and I don't know how this is allowed. I don't know how this is legal. He is trying to communicate to the American electorate and base that we should support candidates who want war with Iran. We should want our military to fight in Iran for Israel. That's what that's about. That's a strategy. And in the same way, I think to myself, why is an Israeli left-wing paper writing about American domestic affairs? None of your business. None of your business. I don't go on my show every day and talk about Israeli affairs, although I probably should, because Israel controls our State Department, right? But this is the kind of thing that we see all the time, and nobody questions even the premise. Nobody's even wondering, gee, why should we listen to foreign nationals kvetching about our domestic affairs? But in any case, they write this article, and there's sort of two parts here. And the first part that I think is really interesting is this article, I don't think anybody else has addressed this yet, addresses the parallels with previous iterations of paleoconservatism or America First. I've said this in interviews before, I think, but this is not the first time this has happened. I'm a young guy, obviously, but a lot of young people who don't travel in these circles and maybe don't talk to some of the people that have been in this fight for decades, for generations, maybe a lot of people don't realize that this Groiper thing is only like the third or fourth expression of something that's been happening in the conservative movement for the better part of the last century. You know, it was the John Birch Society, and much more recently, and I think this was maybe the latest and most successful effort to take over the conservative movement, to take over the Republican Party, was the paleoconservatives in the 1980s and the 1990s. People like Peter Brimelow, Patrick Buchanan, Jared Taylor, Sam Francis, a lot of these characters who were in National Review or wrote for The Examiner or wrote for some prestigious publications and were considered mainstream. And at the time, their views were mainstream, and they were quickly shut down, defamed, ostracized, discredited, and purged by people like William F. Buckley in the same fashion that is happening to us today. And so this has happened many times, and people think this is new. You know, Ben Shapiro calls us alt-right too, or people say, oh, you know, where do these guys come from? This sentiment, this strain of conservatism has been in America forever. And it's only been since World War II that it has been actively suppressed and targeted, and they try to strangle it in the crib. Ever since these certain interests, certain, you know, perhaps Zionist interests or other liberal Marxist influences, Bolshevist influences, have gained a foothold in the media or through the deep state or whatever, you've seen that this America First Christian social conservatism has been strangled, has been throttled and shut down. And as I said, it's happened almost with every generation, the 60s, the 80s and 90s. I think in some sense it happened around the time of the Tea Party and a little bit with the dissident right in the last election. And this is only the latest iteration of it. So I think that's a little bit of history. And the question is not whether or not we can exert this kind of influence, right? Exert this ideology, but whether we can prevent the same failures of previous generations, whether we can survive the same old tactics, the same defamation, the same purges that befell Buchanan before us and others before him. I mean, that's the question. Because this is not the first time Conservative Inc. has done this. You know, we know the left does this. It's very much the best kept secret in like political circles that Conservative Inc. and Republicans and right-wing people, they have been using the left playbook. Like, people are so shocked that Benny Johnson and Charlie Kirk and Shapiro are lying and defaming, and they're using SPLC tactics. They're only the latest iteration of people that came before. They're only the latest iteration of William F. Buckley and all the characters from 20 years ago and 30 years before that. The other interesting part of the article is this talk about how Donald Trump must condemn the Groypers. And I don't know, I mean, that would probably be a really bad thing. They have been relatively silent about it, but it is interesting that people really are this afraid of what we're doing. I think that's the message. They wouldn't be covering this if they weren't afraid. If you remember, when this first started happening like 5 or 6 weeks ago, nobody was talking about it. Nobody on any level. You might say, well, it wasn't a big deal back then. But even when this kicked off at Politicon, the first few culture war events, OSU, nobody covered it. Not Right Wing Watch, not even the low-level conservative publications like Examiner. Nobody was covering this. And the reason being is because they thought that if they ignored it, it would go away. And then it got too big to ignore, and now they know they've got to come in with the big hammer because they see the breakout capability. They wouldn't be addressing it if they were not afraid of this. If they thought that they could ignore it and that it would just peter out and it would go quiet on its own, they would have done that. That would have been, I think, what they preferred. But the reason they're coming so hard out against us, Charlie Kirk writing that big article, which we covered last week in, American Greatness, and now, you know, the Israelis and the Catholics, and now everybody's coming around for this, it's because they see. And here's maybe the implicit white pill. The reason they're afraid of it is not necessarily because specifically of what we're doing. It's because they know that what we're pushing is inevitable. You know, maybe the Groypers won't be the ones to do it. Maybe I won't be the one to do it. But they know that the forces that we are harnessing, tribalism, populism, nationalism, these kinds of sentiments, they're intuitive, they're instinctual, they're primal, they're deep inside all of us. They know it's only a matter of time. This charade of liberalism, egalitarianism, democracy, it can only go on for so long. Like gravity, everything that we're talking about will be constantly dragging them back down, pulling them back. It's only a matter of time before they plummet back to Earth. And that's what they're afraid of. So every time something like this pops up, they scramble like whack-a-mole, and they try and shut it down and push it back in, just try and force everybody back into compliance, back into submission. But these things cannot be contained. So, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily they're afraid of us, although they should be, because we're fresh and young and funny and we're native to the internet and we're likable and I'm charismatic and cool and I have an epic show. But more than that, they are terrified of these forces. And that should be a white pill, because they know that if that tipping point ever occurs, the beast that will be unleashed, and I don't mean that's maybe a poor choice of words, but they know that the forces that will be unleashed, the kinds of things we're talking about, will immediately and dramatically overpower all this nonsense. That's what they're afraid of. Because they know once that sleeping giant wakes up, and you might know what I'm talking about, you might know who the sleeping giant is, awaken, right? When, you know, so a certain somebody begins to do a certain something when he wakes up. That's what they're afraid of. They know. They know who's going to win. They know what's going to happen once the eyes begin to open. That's what they're afraid of. So that might be a little white pill. Why are they scrambling? Why are they fighting so hard? It's not because they're certain. It's not because they're powerful. It's because their position is very precarious. And if enough people start to wake up, we will throw them off our back and they'll be done. So anyway, but that's Haaretz. You know, what a surprise. And by the way, it's so funny. What's the clip they still hold over my head? What did I say in a private conversation like 3 years ago? They got me on tape saying, some girl said, do Jews hurt you in your daily existence? Are Jews out to get you? And in the clip, I said, yeah, absolutely. I disavow. Out of context, blah, blah, blah. But hello, hi. Where's the lie, though? But where's the lie? You know, Ben Shapiro, for 3 years, has held this blood feud with me, this grudge against me. He's exponentially more famous, more money, more clout. And yet he has held this blood feud, this grudge against me for years, since I was 18 years old, using a clip where I say Jews are out to get me. Really? Seriously? Yeah, oh, Nick Fuentes, that anti-Semite who keeps saying the Jews are out to get him. I learned that from Haaretz and Ben Shapiro and, you know, all these Jewish publications, all these Jewish media people. Yeah, what a terrible guy. What a hateful person. Yeah, it's like, you know, the pit bull question. It's like your toddler gets mauled to death by a pit bull and you're like, these pit bulls gotta go. What's that guy's problem? He's just a hater, just indiscriminately, just a hater. Anyway, we're going to dive into the news here about the border wall, and enough about articles, enough about publications. You know, everybody's talking. Nobody wants to talk to me. They don't want to talk at me. They want to talk about me. They want to say, he said this, he said that. But they can never just talk to me. They can never just have a conversation. If I was everything that they said I am, if we were everything they said we were, they would simply engage. And everybody would be turned off by how evil and hateful we are. But they know that's not the case. They know that if they sit down and have a conversation with me or anybody that represents this movement, people would not be disgusted. People would not be offended. They would not be insulted. They would be intrigued. They would be compelled. They would be persuaded. They would probably come around to our way of thinking. And that's why it'll never happen. You know, people say, oh, Nick, debate Charlie Kirk. I wish I would debate Charlie Kirk in a second. But the reason they won't debate is not what they say. You know, what did Shapiro say? Shapiro said he won't debate me because I killed him in Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, you heard that right. Because I saw a guy in Grand Theft Auto. I said, oh, that's Ben Shapiro. And then that guy happened to get run over by a car. Okay, that, and he says that's a death threat. So he won't debate me for that reason. It's not that. It's because if we got into a debate, people would find me likable, charming, persuasive, compelling. And they'd see just how terrible these people are. You know, these people they're putting up, like Charlie Kirk and Shapiro, are ugly, okay? They're ugly, they're unlikable, they're fake, they're not authentic, and they lie. You know what I mean? And so once you put that up against somebody who is none of those things, somebody with good physiognomy, likable, not an asshole, you know? Maybe I'm an asshole, but I'm not Ben Shapiro? I'm not a gremlin. I'm not some, you know, sick, unlikable little gremlin like Ben Shapiro, some little troll with these, you know, dark, overcast eyes and, you know, this very, very evil physiognomy, demonic troll physiognomy. You know, we don't have that. I don't have that same voice. And also, we're telling the truth, too. So, anyway, we're going to dive into the news. Our story for tonight features stories about the border wall. You know, like I said, border wall's kind of been a big poopy. Kind of been a big, that's professional. That is professional Groiper Army talk. I love when people come on this, come on Twitter or whatever, they come in the live chat and they're like, oh, that's like so professional. It's like, that's why we're winning, is because we're not so concerned about, what would you call it, these formalities, this politeness, civility, whatever. Border wall's been poop, okay? Border wall's been trash. We don't have a wall. It's been 2 years. We have nothing. You know, when we've done a little bit, people say, oh, but Nick, the replacement wall. Oh, but Nick, what about this video? What has happened so far in the last 2 years is that we funded the construction of replacement barrier, which is okay, which is good. I'm not saying it's bad, but let's get real. The border's 2,000 miles long, and we need to secure 1,000 miles of it. I think it's only like a third or a fourth of that that's even close to covered. And the covering is insufficient to begin with. You know, if you look at some of the barrier in most of the places where there is barrier, it's vehicle fencing. It's only designed to keep out trucks. You know, there are certain fencing you could look at that goes on for miles. And it's like 5 feet tall, 3-4 feet tall. And you're perfectly able to come right across and jump over the border fence because it's not designed to keep human beings out. It's designed to prevent vehicles from gaining entry. So I'm not saying that replacing that with bollard fencing is not a good thing. That's to say it's not a good thing that we're replacing it with wall that's actually meant to keep people out and so on. But it is to say that it's not enough, not good enough, it's not sufficient. We need to secure 1,000 miles of border. You know, you could say that 1,000 miles is natural barriers, as Trump does. That's Rio Grande, it's mountainous, it's whatever. But then you need to secure the other half. And that hasn't happened. You know, we went over the numbers in great detail over the summer, and I had friends in the administration who would give me updates. It's something like 2 to 3 miles of new wall that have been constructed. Some say it's zero. You know, you don't really know with all this bureaucratic stuff going on, but everybody agrees, no significant amount of new wall has been constructed. The good news is, we've got somebody who's going to fix that, Jared Kushner. So this is the article from The Hill talking about this development. It says, President Trump has put his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, in charge of overseeing the construction of the border wall, according to the Washington Post. Current and former administration officials told the Post that Kushner has taken the lead on the wall construction project, holding biweekly meetings covering the progress of the wall, contractor data, the location of the wall, and how funding is being used. Kushner is reportedly pressuring U.S. Customs and Border Protection and the Army Corps of Engineers to speed up the process of obtaining private land along the U.S.-Mexico border to build a wall. The president's son-in-law is reportedly pushing to get 450 miles of barriers along the border finished before the 2020 election. officials told the Post. The more than 800 filings to seize private property need to be made to make that happen. Kushner has frustrated officials with his lack of knowledge about government and his high expectations for the timeline, some have told the Post. They say, quote, "So he took a much more hands-on role in figuring out mile by mile how to get more wall up. It didn't help put wall up faster and cheaper. His interventions actually just created more inefficiency in the process." Senior administration officials told the Post that Kushner has attributed the delay in the wall to former Chief of Staff John Kelly and former DHS Secretary Kristjen Nielsen. So I have sort of mixed feelings about this, and I've seen a couple of takes on the timeline. You know, like I said, there's one school of thought that is, I think, obvious to everybody watching the show, that we all know who Jared Kushner is. Jared Kushner is Jewish, and that has nothing to do with anything. Jared Kushner is a liberal, financial guy. He has no business in the White House, honestly. You know, Trump, in some sense, is strong because he relies on family, but it's also his biggest blind spot. Ivanka and Jared Kushner are not about what Trump is about. They never have been. I don't think they've ever been committed to the America First, Make America Great Again agenda. So the obvious take is Jared Kushner being put in charge of this is only the latest thing that he's been put in charge of that is not really going very well, right? You know, we talked about this earlier on in the year. You have to wonder at this point, what is the president actually even doing? Jared Kushner has been put in charge of trade. He's been put in charge of an immigration deal with Congress and DACA. He's been put in charge of the Middle Eastern peace plan. He's been put in charge of the infrastructure plan. He's been put in charge of virtually every element of policy from the White House, from the executive branch. We didn't vote for Jared Kushner. We voted for Donald Trump. We voted for Donald Trump, who's been talking about these issues for 25 years, talking about non-intervention, talking about protectionism, immigration restriction. We did not vote for Jared Kushner. And there is a difference. There is a significant difference. So the obvious take is, if Jared Kushner is obviously usurping all this power in the White House, and he does not represent MAGA, he is not a true believer in the America First, American nationalist agenda, then why would we entrust him with this project, which would be the symbol of America First, a border wall between America and Mexico? In some sense, it's a terrible idea. If he hasn't been able to make peace in the Middle East or do infrastructure or anything else, why would we trust him to do this? Jared Kushner was the guy that brokered the end to the government shutdown earlier this year. You remember the government shutdown deal that got us nothing? It allowed for, what was it, total immunity for potential sponsors of unaccompanied minors. So basically, de facto immunity for every illegal immigrant in the country. We brokered a deal where we got no money for the border wall and all these onerous restrictions on future barrier projects. This is the guy in charge of the wall. So that's one argument that I've heard, and I understand that. I think that's probably the default position for most people, is why would we let this guy be in charge of something as important as the wall? On the other hand, I would have to say, you know, to play devil's advocate, I've seen this take from a lot of America First type people as well. Who else would do it? You know, Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller's proven to be actually one of the worst people in the White House. I've heard this from a number of people, that as good as Stephen Miller is on immigration, and he is good, he is an immigration hawk, he does seem to know all the relevant facts, he is pretty good with rhetoric, he is pretty good on his feet in these press conferences and with journalists, as good as he is on all that, he's only one guy. And he is making sure in the White House that he remains the only one guy who's the immigration hawk. I've heard from a number of people that the reason, for example, that Kris Kobach is not the Department of Homeland Security Secretary is because Stephen Miller sabotaged his chances, because Stephen Miller doesn't want Kobach to get any credit for shutting down immigration. A reason why we don't have Ken Cuccinelli as a DHS secretary, and instead we have, it's actually in flux right now. I think the latest guy just got fired. But the reason we don't have any other based in Red Pill DHS secretary is because of Stephen Miller. I've heard that he's keeping a lot of immigration restrictionists and immigration hawks out of the White House because he wants all the credit for the immigration agenda. He does have, you know, where a lot of people said Steve Bannon wanted to be seen as the mastermind, the puppet master, that's really more Stephen Miller these days. So on the other hand, people are saying, well, if Stephen Miller's not going to do it, maybe Kushner's the one who can make it happen. If Kushner is, for better or for worse, if he's the power broker in the White House, If he's the guy that you go to make something happen, he is the gatekeeper. He is the one with his hands and everything. You know, look. Got a little frog in my throat there. That was Jared Kushner. That was some black magic. You know, somewhere Jared Kushner's watching America First. And, you know, I don't know. He has the tail of a rabbit or, I don't know, a goat's head or something. He dipped his finger in the blood and dragged it. Did the Kabbalah symbol. I don't know. He's high on adrenochrome somewhere. He's in communion. He's making things happen on the realm. I'm joking. He's doing some kind of force choke on me. As I was saying, if Jared Kushner is the guy that makes things happen in the White House, maybe he's the one that can deliver a border wall. Nobody else in this damn White House can figure it out. If it's been 2 years and we've got nothing, maybe Jared Kushner's the guy. No, I don't know. I don't know. I'll say that in the past, Jared Kushner's kind of done a good job. I'll say with this, it was not long ago. I think it was before summer. Jared Kushner was put in charge of this deal for immigration. He was put in charge of a broader immigration deal. And if you looked at the deal that he put together, I don't remember all the specifics right now, but the deal that he put together, a grand bargain on immigration, wasn't that bad. And the Middle Eastern peace deal, for example, I don't think we ever saw the completed deal, but we saw the first iteration. Wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. You know, so all I'm saying is, I'm skeptical. I don't think Jared Kushner's the guy to do it. I don't think he's America First. I think he is a guy who's in, you know, these weird Zionist secret societies, and he lives on 666 Fifth Avenue, and Bibi Netanyahu stays in the penthouse, and I think he's a bad dude, but maybe he's the guy who can get it done. I don't know. I think that if anybody can get anything done in the White House at this point, again, for better or for worse, it's him. If Trump puts him in charge of that, if it's seen as that's a competency test for him, maybe he wants to prove himself, by all means. You know, I'm not going to say I don't want a wall built because I don't want Jared Kushner to be the guy to do it. I'm skeptical, but you know what? At this point, how could it really get much worse in terms of the border wall? I mean, we have, like, no progress. Could it, unless he starts bringing down border wall, unless he starts destroying border wall, I don't see how it could hurt us, right? So I have mixed feelings about it. I know a lot of other people do as well, don't really know how to feel about it. I know the default is we're not Jared Kushner people, but on the other hand, you know what? If he's a political guy, if he's an operator, if he's effective, if he can build it, you know, I'm willing to give him a chance on this, but I am highly skeptical. But that's a border wall. We'll see if it ever gets constructed. If they do manage to put up 450 miles before the 2020 election, that's really good. That is really good. That's half of what Trump promised in 2016. And you know what? I was expecting very little, frankly, out of this president in terms of immigration, in terms of a wall, especially, and it's, I've only increasingly come under that impression that we really should lower expectations. So if they manage 450 miles, that would be a big deal. That would be, I think, that would make Donald Trump reelectable, in my opinion, even if you're concerned about immigration. So if he can get it done, all the power to him. And I like the hands-on approach. You know, honestly, I think a lot of people have looked at the way the border wall's been handled, and they say, you know, just where's the focus? Where is this guy? Tweeting, the golfing, all this. And don't get me wrong, I'm not coming at it from like a liberal perspective of, oh, he's this the tweeter-in-chief, the golfer-in-chief. But really, it seems like Donald Trump really lacks a lot of the focus to hammer on his core issues and core things every day. If Jared Kushner is holding biweekly meetings while Trump is tied up with impeachment and he's on it, he's got this hands-on approach, if he can do it, I think that would be a good thing. 450 miles would be big. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on it. Who knows? He might start taking down border. We never know with these people. But we're going to move on to Super Chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all this on this low-key Tuesday evening here. Let's see, we've got Mr. Corgi, who seems to be always our first super chatter. I don't know how he does it. He's always first. He says, imagine eating this good. Bites melted Swiss cheese with roasted mushrooms and caramelized onions, which you can get at a number of different places. I did actually have one of those over the weekend. I had a mushroom and Swiss burger at this diner, although it didn't have caramelized onions. I even asked her. Okay, I went to this diner. Well, I forgot this detail. I went to this diner with my friends over the weekend. I was out of town, and it was actually interesting. We were going to go to McDonald's. It was like 3 a.m., and the whole street was closed because there was this massive police presence. and the McDonald's is blocked off. We couldn't even get in. I'm like, this is bullshit. I wanted a, you know, a Big Mac. So like, okay, well, there's literally a diner right here. You know, you turn off right before this huge police blockade of the street. So we go to this diner and we sit down, and it's boisterous. It's rambunctious. It's like a college town. It's like 3 a.m. It's a Saturday or a Friday. And so everybody's hanging out late at night. We sit down and the waiter comes over and the waiter tells us this is, you know, that they didn't have caramelized onions was only the least worst. It was only the least offensive thing about this restaurant. She comes over, we start to place our order, and she tells us that you have to prepay. She says after 2 a.m., you have to prepay for your meal. She tells us like we're animals, like we're kids or something, like we're freeloaders. She's like, I can't bring out any food until you pay. It's like, relax, lady. We're going to pay. Then I look around. You know, I do a little research on the demographics, and I'm like, you know, why do you think this is? Why do you think this is? Who do you think is responsible for this? And, you know, it's like, just goes back. It just goes back to what we're talking about. Quality of life, standard of living, going down in the era of global homo. I'm looking around. I'm like, you know what? You know what? You know, it's like, look. We're gonna pay, okay? I don't know who else patronizes this restaurant usually, but, you know, you can look at us. I think we're gonna pay, right? So she's like, you have to prepay. I've never had prepay at a restaurant before. I've never had to do that before, but I guess, you know, if they can't profile based on some, you know, elements that are gonna be causing problems, Democrats, liberals, libtards, well, then they just gotta punish everybody. So we're like, okay. They bring out, I'm not going to get into all the food. You're not interested in why the supreme nachos were not very supreme or anything else. But I ordered a mushroom and Swiss burger. And I said, yeah, I'll get the, I said, yeah, I'd love a burger with, I'd love a burger with melted Swiss cheese, roasted mushrooms. And by the way, does caramelized onions come on this? She's like, no. I'm like, well, that's really disappointing. I said, I'll get it anyway. So I got the burger, and I got to tell you, it sucked. Honestly, it wasn't good. Just, I didn't even taste the Swiss. I didn't taste the mushroom. I just tasted the bun and the meat. It just tasted like a plain hamburger, honestly. So I was disappointed. Maybe I got to go to a different place. You know, he did say he could get it at a number of different places. Maybe I went to the wrong one. It was the caramelized onions. That's what did it, I guess. So I tried. Maybe I'll go in for another one soon. Local politician says Haaretz calls on Trump to condemn this vile and dangerous squints guy eating oatmeal in the basement. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, I'm really dangerous. I'm sitting here playing Modern Warfare, eating Cheez-Its. I'm a real danger to society, really? Forest Shade says your take on the Houthi rebels in Yemen. I don't really care about them. For $2, your take on Houthi rebels, I don't know. Don't really care. I don't really care about Yemen. Joshua says, Nick, will you take a stand and disavow the 13 words? Swiss, melted Swiss cheese and roasted mushrooms and caramelized onions on a burger. I disavow the 13 words. Very hateful. Neo-Nazi slogan. The Neo-Nazi 13 words by Richard Spencer. Jews be like, oh, you mean the 14 words? No. I mean the 13 words. The other Neo-Nazi slogan. You might think it's harmless. You might think it makes sense. You might say it to yourself and think, what's wrong with that? You could say that with literally anything else and it'd be fine, but you're wrong. The 13 words are very problematic. Iran soccer fan says, thank you for your service. You're braver than the troops. At the very least, the Jags, like David French, brags about service, not a real soldier. I don't know. I didn't know David French was in the military. But, I don't know if I would never say I'm braver than the troops. The troops are so brave, and they go into war, and they fight for our freedom. You know, they lay down their lives for our freedom. And they also get a pension, but, you know, they lay down their lives for our freedom. They lay down their... David French laid down his life for the First Amendment so he could come back to this country and say that I should have my First Amendment taken away. So no, nobody's braver, ever. Thank you for your service, by the way. Last name says, hey, big guy, what do you think of Razor Fist? I think he's cringe faggot. The guy's always counter-signaling me on the timeline. I didn't even say anything nasty about him. I know you're trying to stir up e-drama. I don't really care. I'm here for it because that guy deserves it. He has it coming. This guy, somebody asked me, what do you think of Razor Fist like a long time ago? And I said, I don't have a problem with him. I said, I don't know him. I said, some of his content's interesting. I said, but his aesthetic is kind of cringe. I said, really? The metal thing, the long hair, the goth, like, whatever. I said, it's very LARPy. And this must have, like, really hurt his feelings, because for the past, like, 4 weeks, while this Groyper thing has been going on, he's been subtweeting me and, you know, saying I'm wearing a prom suit. It's like, it's not a prom suit, bro. It's just a regular suit. I have no respect, by the way, for men who think it's, like, manly to not like wearing a suit. Oh, I get roped into wearing a monkey suit once a year. It's like, do you think that makes you, like, cool? Do you think that makes you tough because, what, you're some kind of idiot? Because you're some kind of retard? I won't wear a suit. I'm a man's man. I work with my hands. I won't wear a suit. It's like, what does that mean? What does that mean? You're poor? Is that some kind of cope for being poor? Not like I'm rich or anything, but it's just a very, like, just a very low, I don't know. That kind of signaling is very sad to me when people do that. So he's like, oh, you know, I'm not some guy in a prom suit, blah, blah, blah. You know, so I guess it really hurt his feelings that I countersignaled his gay outfit, his gay, you know, getup or whatever. It hits close to home because it's true, because it is cringe. It, you know, you are a fag. And I was willing to be nice. I was willing to not, you know, be mean to you. But, you know, if that's how it's going to be, if you're going to get your little panties in a bunch, you're going to get your little satanic metal panties in a bunch. Okay, let's go there then. So the guy's dumb. Dummy. He's just cringe. All these people are cringe. Here's the thing. You could say a lot of things about me, but I'm not cringe. I'm actually funny. I'm actually really funny. I'm actually really with it. There's very little you can do to phase me because I get it, and you just don't. You just don't get it. That's what it comes down to. You're a cringe fag. I'm epic. It's as simple as that. It always has been. That was that way with Owen Benjamin. It's that way with Vox Gay. It's all these people. They just don't get it. You know, they could say anything they want about me, but it doesn't land because I'm epic and I get it. Oh, he's got a big head. Yeah, facts. I got a big brain. Oh, he lives with his parents. Yeah, and I'm eating like a king. I'm a king. And what are you doing? What are you eating, microwave meals? What are you going out to eat? I get a fresh homemade meal every day. My parents are awesome. I'm living the dream over here. That's a dig at me. You can't countersign me. I'm too epic. So yeah, this guy, very cringe. He had to get his girlfriend. I also noticed his girlfriend soft blocked me because his girlfriend was simping for me all the time. I'm sure eventually he had to be like, hey, you have to unfollow that Nick Fuentes guy. He's being mean to me. And she was like, okay, Razor Fist. Oh, what does he call himself? The Rage Holic. Okay, Rage Holic. What a stupid, what a dumbass thing. What did she buy him for his... like, dude, look, here's the thing. Why do people attack me? Here's what you gotta understand about me. I will basically be nice to anybody, okay? If people don't attack me, I'm not gonna attack you. I'm not somebody that's looking for trouble. I'm not somebody that's looking to fight with people. But here's the thing. Even if I'm friendly with you, it's all being stored. It's locked and loaded. It's in the chamber. You know, in the case of some people like Owen Benjamin, I'm waiting for them to attack me so I can unload. You know, because I'm saying it in Discord all the time with the buddies. I'm saying it on my alt. Give me a reason. Give me a reason to go off on America First. You know, it's like this guy in particular, I have to watch because me and his girlfriend used to be mutuals. Like I said, she used to simp and be like, oh, we should go to the gym together. I would outlive you and blah, blah, blah. She would post pictures where she would like buy him like action figures for his birthday. She would be buying him like toys for his birthday, like Marvel comics and shit like that. It's like, I think I would have to blow my head off if I ever put, you know, I'm not a simp or anything, but if I had to put my eventual girlfriend or wife, if that's ever me, if my girlfriend or wife or spouse or whatever is ever buying me toys, if she's ever buying me action figures and things like that, please put me out of my misery. Put her out of her misery. I would ask her to put herself out of her misery to have to go through that. You know, so this guy's going to come around and say, like, oh, Nick Fuentes is a nerd. And then he's going to, what, go back on his show and talk about, like, socialism and, you know, Marvel comic books. And it's just, please, just don't even try. Just don't even try it. I would love to go on a stream with him. I would love to go on a stream with him. I would love to just, because with these people, that whole LARP, it's like somebody just needs to rip those dumbass glasses off his face and just be like, grow up. You're like a 20-year-old man. You are not the dark Metallica Lord. It's just the same thing with like Vox Day. It's like, Vox, you're 50 and you're calling yourself the Supreme Dark Lord. Grow up. You know, it's like with all these people, grow up. Anyway, I've gone off enough. But I'd love to go on a stream with that guy. Let's see. Timothy says, did you hear about the Whiskey Warrior guy? No one is really covering it. Yeah, it turned out to be a lie. This, veteran or whatever, he started posting on his Instagram that he was being red flagged by the government. And he was like, I'm not going without a fight. And, you know, there's a huge police presence outside his house. And people were showing up and, like, interfering with the police. And then there's a police report, and it turned out that there was no red flag situation. Everything he said was basically a lie. And it's like, look, I'm willing to go there with conspiracy theories. And I don't trust the government all the time. I generally don't trust the government. But, you know, if there's no evidence, if there's literally no evidence for what you're claiming, other than, you know, you're just, you know, you're a drunk veteran and you've got like a gun in your hand, whatever, it's like, I don't know, man, which is more likely, that the police just made up the report? They just made it all up? They just made up this fake thing and they were just out to get you or something? Or do you have a veteran, you know, some guy who obviously is troubled, maybe has PTSD, he's clearly drunk in the video and decided to make up some story to prevent himself from getting arrested? I think it's probably, you know, it's probably the latter. Alex says, hey, Tone, look, I'm just saying. Yeah, okay. Derpy says, when I returned from the war and my Groiper family greeted me at the airport, I thought it was all over. Nothing is over, though. We have to go back, Nick. I don't know what that means. Trent says, looked on the timeline today. Toll equals paid, LMAO. Yes, the toll was paid. Great to see. You love to see it, right? Look, I've said this before. It's like, you are doing yourself no favors by not listening to us. The toll is always paid. Nobody gets by without paying the toll. I'll just say that, okay? One does not simply not pay the toll. And you can listen to us. You cannot listen to us. You can think it's racist. You could think it's going to work out differently. But the toll will be paid. And we're just trying to tell you. We're trying to warn you. And especially doesn't help when they're prideful about it. You know, there's this e-girl and she's like, yeah, I'm dating a Nigerian. This, okay, I don't want to go off too hard because I don't even know this person, but it's just like one of these internet stories that should serve as a teachable moment, maybe. It's one of these things where it's a case study, it's a legend, you know, one of these little Timmy fell down the well kind of examples, except it's, you know, e-girl dates a Nigerian. And she's going around saying, no, but it's based. All these, like, right-wing people are orbiting this e-girl who's dating this African guy. And it would be enough if it's like, oh, it's just some like weird interracial thing. But it's also, she's using that to like counter signal us. She's saying like, oh, you know, incels are just mad that I'm dating this black Catholic and blah, blah, blah. And we told her like, this is cringe. Anybody orbiting this e-girl is cringe and so on. And then come to find out, her totally based trad black boyfriend is cheating on her. They're engaged. With, what is it, traps? With boys in dresses? That's who the fiancé is cheating on her with? And it's like, look, we told you. Toll paid. Yeah. Deposit your change, please. Slow down to 15 miles an hour. Stop before the arm. Deposit your change in the toll. Now you may proceed. Hello, toll booth check. So you love to see it. Well, you hate to see it, but you also love to see it. The worst thing about this to me was not even, I mean, this was funny. This was epic. I was enjoying it. A good comeuppance, a good vindication story. But the worst part, it was all the simping. Very, very disappointing. Disappointing! All the e-boys, all the simps who are going around saying, you're making fun of some e-girl. What are you, like, evil? All these Catholics, and now they're making fun of an e-girl. You're a nihilist. You're evil. What's wrong with you? You know, it's like, and from people that I like their content, from some mutuals, Young Peck, What's going on, big guy? What's the deal? You know, and this is where it has to be said. Look, it has to be said that the Eternal Division, look, I don't want to use, there's so many ways where this could become very unoptical very quickly, so I'm going to have to be careful here. Normals are always going to be normals, okay? Now, I'm not saying what we are. I don't want to say abnormal. That's kind of not a great, you know, not a glowing word to use, but you've got normies, for lack of a better word, and you've got us. Now, that's not to say that we're not normal or we're weird or whatever, but it is to say that we're people that care. When we talk about a lot of this stuff, yeah, we're being ironic sometimes, or yeah, we're being funny, but deep down, like, we really care about this stuff. We're true believers. We are, you know, interested in what's real and so on. And then you've got people that are living in the fake world, fake surface-level world, normals, and that will, these things will just never mesh. Now, sometimes there can be alliances and relationships and overlap, and normals can make good content and so on. But the dynamic will never, I mean, that will always be there. There will always be a distinction. And when things get real, there will always be that difference. That will always come back. And so I saw that today. A lot of these e-boys who I, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to say that they're all terrible or whatever. Some's worse than others. But you're always going to have that where, you know, here's a clear-cut case where it's internet fun. Everybody's celebrating. Hello, meme check. You know, we've got Groypers doing this. We've got Boomer Wojak's doing this. Okay, everybody's having a great time. We're celebrating. It's funny. E-girls are crying. Race mixing is blown out. It's hilarious. It's funny. You know, not only was the toll paid, but in this humiliating way, justice is served, vindicated once again. And you've got people that are all bent out of shape about this. You've got people policing everyone else, like, you can't laugh about that. That's not very funny. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, people like that, I just question, what are you doing? What are you doing here? You're not one of us. What are you doing? You know, let's think. I'll never forget it. So it was a great, great weekend. I don't want to let these simps overshadow it, because I think we had fun mocking them as well. But it's just a little bit surprising, you know, it really be your own nibbles. That's tough. It's tough to see, but that, you know, I just hope everybody enjoys the choices they make. That's all I ever wish, is that I just hope people enjoy. I hope you enjoy. You know, people tell me the different things and they want to simp, or e-girls want to do whatever. I just hope you enjoy. We're going to make our based in red pill choices, and, you know, people are going to make their choices. I just hope everyone's happy. I just hope everybody's satisfied in the end. But let's see. Yeah, we had a lot of fun today. Chef Big Dogs is going to Chicago this weekend. Also, my merch came yesterday. Thanks for everything, King. Well, thanks, big guy. Glad you like your merch. Local politician says Nick has had over 40 Big Macs in the last 30 days. That's right. That's right. And that's not Big Macs. A reckoning is coming. Heinrich says, I've had over 40 burgers with melted Swiss cheese, roasted mushrooms, and caramelized onions in the last 30 days. Spencer has no burger experience. Stay tuned. The day of reckoning will come. Okay, this is one of the better super chats this month. Thanks for that. Elston Gunn says, last week in RCIA, our Femoy teacher used a clip of Captain Marvel to illustrate the role of the Virgin Mary. Female deacons are going to be great. Yeah, I can't wait for that. Look, I mean, the Femoy question is really, that's the only one. It's the only one, okay? Other questions are important, but none are as important as the female question. You know, you either get it or you don't. You're either simp or you're not. I mean, it's really that cut and dry, and this just goes to prove it. Iran soccer fans, says, on behalf of all Iranians, we apologize to Catholics for Sohrab Amari. Apology accepted. We know there's a lot of based Iranians. Autism Unstoppable says, oatmeal first, then America. Yeah, we got to get the oatmeal. Got to get regular, okay? John Robertson says, it's extremely sad that 200,000 to 300,000 people. Okay, not going there, not optical. Deus Volt says, he has no style, he has no grace. Charlie Kirk has a tiny face. That's true. All true. Jonathan says, I love the convo with Lift the Veil. Go easy. He's a literal autiste. Really refreshing seeing his questions and his kind words at the end. His wife unplugged his mic when the woman question came up. Please don't hit me. Yeah, it was a good interview. I like the guy. He seems smart. He seems interesting. And I meant what I said. You know, I think he got the impression. We obviously disagree on the issues and on strategy, but the difference is I think what he's doing is important. I've never said that people like that shouldn't exist, or even other people that are out there shouldn't exist and say what they say. It's just that we're trying to do something very specific, and I think people should recognize that. But it was a great interview. I thought it was a great discussion, very fun. It was interesting how the mic began to cut out right around that time, and you know, the wife was in the room. You gotta wonder if she said, shut it down, you know, when I started to name them, meaning women, she was like, we have to shut this down, women are being exposed. 420 Barack Obama says, goo goo gaga, big wet fire truck. Okay, thanks. Senseless Tuning says, we need a Trump face on Mount Rushmore. Okay, thank you, Boomer. White Well-Being says, Jared Kushner in charge of wall builds horizontal wall that is perpendicular to the border so they can cross the Rio Grande. Okay, I don't know what any of this means. Anonymous Chance is the Ayyubid Sultan. The Ayyubid Sultan Saladin once said, if you want to destroy any nation without war, make adultery and nudity common in the young generation. Thanks, boomers, for allowing this 800-year-old quote to come true. I think a lot of this is bullshit, honestly. People do this all the time. It's the stupidest boomer thing in the world when people say, Yuri Bezmenov said, oh, you know, this pastor said back in the 50s. You know what I'm talking about? Every boomer has one of these quotes from back in the day where it's, oh, it's a prophecy. Oh, they knew exactly what was going to happen. It's like, okay, whoa, wow, haunting. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's like this old sermon from a pastor. He goes, or if I was the devil, you know, it's one of these, you know, fuddy-duddy Protestant ministers. If I was the devil, I would do this, blah, blah, blah. And Yuri Bezmenov, it's KGB, whoa-based KGB agent. And you know, this quote, it's all these people have figured it out, prophets. Wow, it's very, woo, wow. Man, they called it. I don't know, I think the Bible has the best. I don't think you need any other prophecy other than that. Treader says, I love Jews. Yo, me too. Jew check. I love those guys. Love those Jews. Can't get enough. I've always said the only problem I have with Jews, I have one problem with Jews. I have a big problem with Jews. You know what it is? It's not enough of them. There's not enough of them, right? People say, Nick, what's your problem with Jews? What is your problem with the Jewish people? Why on earth do you have such a problem with them? I say, you know what? I have a big problem with Jews. Yeah, you're damn right I got a problem with them. I got a big problem with these people. There's not enough of them. There's not enough of them to go around. 2% of the population? Not enough. Let's get those numbers up. 4, 5, 6, 100? Let's try 100 on for size. You know, right now, what are they? Overrepresented in media by 2,000%? Let's make them overrepresented by 1,000,000%. That's what I say. You know, Jews control Israel. Let's make them control the whole Middle East. How about the whole world? That's what I say. They're so epic. Let's make them run everything. Or, you know, more. Make them run more things. Trent says, hey, Nick, give me an N-word pass real quick. Granted. Big L says, I tell you what, that cheese we tried that I liked, couldn't figure out what it was. It was Swiss cheese with mushrooms and caramelized onions. I'll tell you what, that cheese that I liked, couldn't figure out what it was Swiss cheese. Well, thanks for that. That's good. That's hot stuff. Bill says, my Chapo bro-in-law saw my New Balance shoes and said, you know, those are the official shoes of the alt-right. I'm like, why? Because they have a big N on the side? He's like, no. It's because the VP of New Balance supports Trump. Bruh, cringe. Imagine thinking supporting Trump is alt-right. Alt-right hates Trump. Dr. Spaghetti says, here's some love from an Orthodox ally, you filthy schismatic. Also, would you say the fall into Western degenerate culture can be rooted in the innate daddy issues of the Protestant churches? I wouldn't say it's like daddy issues, but it's rooted in individualism is ultimately what it comes down to. I think it's not a coincidence that Western, you know, all the Western liberal countries are Protestants, you know? I don't think it's a coincidence that Angloid culture, you know, is goes hand in hand with Protestant culture, individualism and Protestantism, liberalism and Protestantism. So I would say that, yeah, there's definitely a relationship there. Big Al says, also, email thread I kept telling you about ended in major Groyper victory over Hillary Plant's physiognomy himself. Check at your convenience and curiosity. Okay, I will. West Offensive says, damn, I just read a really interesting book about dueling in the 1940s. I'm not going to push that. We don't want to do that. It's not optical. Bert says, are you going to bring the mustache back? I don't have any plans to do it anytime soon. Elevated Squirrels has been noticing that Klavan is a lot more careful when he responds to Groypers who write into his show compared to Shapiro and Knowles. Why is this? I think Klavan actually has integrity, honestly. I think Klavan is not right on some of the issues, but I do respect him. I think he does have some integrity because he is a Christian, and I've always respected him. So I think you're right. Knowles has been a complete shithead about it. Matt Walsh is just an asshole. What a joke that guy is. But, you know, Klavan, I think, does have a little bit of integrity. That Michael Knowles is such a weasel, man. That guy's such a pathetic weasel. And same with Matt Walsh. Big tough guy. Big tough guy. I never felt the need to pretend like I'm a big tough guy or anything, but you could tell that Matt Walsh does. You could tell that he purposely tries to make his voice sound deeper and tries to be very, you know, militant about these things. Okay, big guy. He's got a beard. I'm a man, and I have a tattoo, and I have a beard. Guy's a loser. Same with Knowles. They're both going to hell. And, you know, but Klavan, I think he's seems a little bit more with it. Base Gentleman says, do you have a favorite church or cathedral? Not really. I haven't really been to too many cathedrals in my days. I visited a lot of cathedrals when I was in Prague last year. But those are the only, like, European cathedrals I've ever seen. In America, there's a nice cathedral at University of Chicago. I went to the Notre Dame one this weekend. I think I saw one at Georgetown. Does that sound right? But I don't know if I have a favorite. They're all pretty nice. Ethan says, Nick, you've turned me from a libertarian into a full-on America First patriot. Wish you the best and thank you. Well, hey, thanks for saying that. Glad I could do that. Welcome. Welcome to the real movement. Welcome to the real struggle here. Appreciate that. Complete Zach says, no. We've got some troll super chats tonight. Well, I'm not going to read it, but thanks for the money. Jared Kushner says, the wall just got 10 feet higher. Well, thank you, base Jared. Much appreciated. Al-Yasha says, this is the real Dr. Taylor Marshall. Hope you are staying salty, my friend. You know, I have a PhD in being trad. I do jujitsu and have 10 kids. Faith Goldie calls me a Chad Trad Dad, cringe or based. I don't think this is the real Taylor Marshall. But yeah, I mean, a lot of that is based, I would say. Unfollowing me on Twitter is not based. That was very cringe. I don't know why you would do that. Monochrome says, Mindy Robinson is trying to fight back against the Groypers on Twitter and is failing tremendously. I actually didn't know who she was until you mentioned her being in a YouTube music video about Zog. Not surprising, to be honest. Well, I didn't mention that. I didn't know that until yesterday, actually. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know why everybody's giving her so much attention. She's literally just like a porn star, right? She's like a whore. Some ugly, vapid whore. I don't know why people give her the time of day. Baked Beans says, cringe super chats, 2BH. I don't know. I mean, some of them are okay. Tandrew says, Trump rally tonight is low energy and cringe. However, Trump administration is a protective dam. His purpose is to give us time. Simply cannot get the America First agenda done with the current power structure. Vote. Yeah, I mean, it's just a practical reality. Jay says, keep up the good work, Nick. Destiny is literally a cuck. LMAO. Well, thanks. Yeah, I saw that. Very true. Groyper War says, lift the veil stream was hilarious. First is autism of not understanding post-irony and a mod civil war over the women question and a stream crashing. Yeah, kind of funny, though. It was all fun. Sven says, what do you think of the Cybertruck? I think it's awesome, and I'm going to buy one. I'm going to buy one when it comes out next year or 2 years. Squidward says, the Virgin, low volume on the TV versus the Chad, autistically loud surround sound. Okay. Prince of Zamunda says, I hope that the recent e-girl incident hasn't sullied the glowing reputation of Nigerians held by racist Twitter. I have no problem with Nigerians, actually. But I have a problem with people parading around these kinds of things, trying to counter-signal white people, right? Or right-wing people. I have a problem with that. You know, oh, well, he's just really trad, blah, blah, blah. No, wrong. She also said she had a big porn addiction, too. So it's like, this is not somebody that we should be celebrating, promoting, lifting up. You know, she's got all this clout, and she's doing this kind of thing. It's like, what are guys thinking? What are you thinking? They're thinking with, you know, the other thing. That's what it is. So, but yeah, no, Nigerians are generally based. I mean, we don't want any more immigration. I'll say that much. But, yeah, I mean, I have no problem with them in themselves, okay? I have no problem with anybody in themselves. But this mixing, not a fan, and the immigration, not a fan. Let's just all get along together in our own homes with our own people. You know, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? So, but look, throwing the change, you know, pulling up. She's pulling up. She's driving up to the thing, throwing the change in the bucket. Whoops, I missed. Time to throw more change in the bucket. I keep throwing change. I keep missing. It's a heavy toll. It's a big toll I have to pay. Yep, can't say we didn't say. What is it? You know, we told you so. Can't say we didn't warn you. Gershom says, Joe Bashrawi says, you are too scared to debate him, Nick. Jesse Peterson had amazing optics for an 80 IQer. Could it be he's not as slow as he lets on? I don't think Jesse's slow. You know what? I'm rethinking debating him. I don't know, though. He backed out of a debate on Patrick Casey. I would debate him if he debated Patrick Casey. He backed out of his debate with Casey on Ralph Retort, which is very dishonorable. So if he debated Patrick, I would consider debating him on Jesse Lee Peterson. Grayback says, is conservatism different from paleoconservatism? Also, N, kind of a dumb question. Yes, I guess. Samir Al-Haid says, great energy on Lift the Veil, King. Thanks. Jay says, ever this day be at my side to light, to guard, to rule and guide. Thank you. United Europa says, Lift the Veil was cringe and blue pill. Typical Gen Xer. Yeah, very Gen X, but that's okay. He was nice. Nick says, everyone have a blessed Thanksgiving. Thank you. Thank you. Likewise. Noah says, I have infiltrated Prager Force. Ah, very good. Well, it's not like there's any classified information there. Bronzo says, Nick, can you give me a quick summary of the show? No. Mr. Leon says, should we still go to the Florida Summit in December? Yes, there'll be more information about that next week. Danger Aaron says, bad take, but I think this admin will hold Kushner to his feet, and if no progress is made, then it'll prompt a firing or a demoted role. Well, I don't think that'll happen, but I think they will hold him accountable. Avalon says, hey, Nick, pee-pee-poo-poo, okay? Womp Womp says, it was not part of their blood. It was came to them very late with long arrears to make good when the groiper began to rape. Ah, yes, classic poem. Tori says, led a meeting on demographic change and no one has an answer to change voting. Is it racial culture or liberal brainwashing in media, education, in Hollywood? Racial culture for sure. Robbie says, Vox Day is talking so much crap. Please debate him. He's delusional and calls himself the Dark Lord. Cringe. I don't want to debate him because it's too boring, dude. It's too boring. Everybody would think that would be exciting, but I can tell you for a fact that there would be no entertainment value in debating somebody as boring and as slow as Vox Day. Isn't he Native American or something? Because I don't know if you notice this, but Native Americans are like this. They're very slow to the draw. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's genetic. I don't know if it's a cultural thing. But if you've ever talked to, and I know people that live like in the mountains and have experience with this, they're very, it's almost like they're not even there. It's almost like they're not even present. Like they're looking past you, and this is a very sort of slow thing. I don't know if that's just like a cultural thing, but I did pick up on that, and I think that might be the reason for it. So the guy's boring, and he's irrelevant. You know, who's watching the dark streams? If he can pull, you know, more than 2,000 concurrent viewers watching the dark stream, maybe I'd consider it worth my time, but I mean, the guy's a has-been. You could say he never was. You know, this is somebody who's been floating around on the scene like writing books, and what does he have to show for it? Infogalactic? A gay comic book? What did he just do? Well, what's the comic book? Lady MAGA or Night MAGA. What's the comic book he made? You know, all these like just stupid projects that don't go anywhere. Guy's a bald retard. His streams suck. He's boring. His name's Vox Day. Just call yourself like a real name. Just use your real name. What's his real name? Teddy something? What's his real name? Vox Day. Theodore Beale. Okay, why not just go by that? 51 years old. And he calls himself the Supreme Dark Lord. What did he say? He literally said on the stream the other week, somebody clipped it and sent it to me. He said, the Groypers are going to learn that you don't mess with somebody who other people call the Supreme Dark Lord. And he said this with like a smirk. Like he was so, like he was like, you're not going to, you shouldn't mess with me. You're not going to mess with somebody who other people call the Supreme Dark Lord. You're 51 years old, man. You're 51 years old. Time to grow up. What is his comic book? Let me look up. What is it? Vox Day comic book. These are the cultural battles we need to fight. Alt Hero by Vox Gay. The Jew Bear, Owen Cringeman, and Vox Gay. Alt Hero. Who is the Alt Hero? Is this Agent Postal or is this something else? Let's see. Wow, very cool. Wow, it's like a comic book, but it's based in Red Pill. Great idea, Vox. What, I think there was like tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars went into developing this. Some obscene and ridiculous, unjustifiable amount of money came into these dumb projects. He's going to counter-signal the Groyper Wars. It's Vox and Owen Benjamin. Two Gen X losers who just can't figure it out. Eddie Cade says, Nick, the best thing about being paralyzed is I get to say anything, and if I get reprimanded, well, time to method act. Durr, I'm sorry, I heard an accident. I'm so sorry. Give hug. Yeah, that is a benefit. Maybe I need to be put in a wheelchair for that reason. You can't attack a guy in a wheelchair. I'm not going to say that. Can't attack a guy in a wheelchair. Maybe I have to like, you know, just start stabbing my legs. So that I could be in a wheelchair. I have to inflict brain damage on myself so that people just feel so bad for me. I'll go to the microphone and, hey Charlie, I haven't been the same since the accident. I tried to get first in line, but the wheels, you know. So Charlie, why did you call me a white supremacist? You know, something like that. I'll be just like hunched over. Labored breathing because, I don't know, my spinal column is broken. Hey, Charlie, remember me? Remember when you called me a Groyper grifter? I couldn't get a haircut because my medical bills are so expensive. I just wanted to ask you. Yeah, well, you can't, you gotta just be strong. You just gotta be strong. Can't have it always like that. We can't play the victim. We have to become who we are. We have to become greater than who we are. Universe says, hey, Nicker, you, Aquinas, and Jesus is King. Help me find faith in God. Keep up the groip. Which has a better schmood, Taxi Driver or Joker? Well, thanks. Glad I could help you there. Better schmood. It's a tough one because I love Taxi Driver. It's one of my favorites. I would have to say Joker, just because it's generational, you know? I love Taxi Driver, but it's not my generation. Joker is. So, he says society, it's, you know, it's much more precisely what we're going at, so. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Taxi Driver, but I think Joker's the schmood. Punish Zoomer says, what do you normally do when America First is canceled? Wait for it to come back? Follow Classical Conservative on DeGram. Okay, well, thanks. Is that a SpongeBob reference, I think? Coomer says, there is a guy being dubbed the pee-pee-poo-poo man who is dumping buckets of liquid poo on people in Toronto. Three attacks so far caught on camera. Is that a real thing? I don't think it is. But let's see. Jersham says, TPUSA Ambassador Joe Busrawi says, you are too scared to debate him, Nick. How do you feel about that? Well, if he was courageous enough to debate Patrick Casey, I might consider it. Garlic and Sapphire says, leading by example. Thank God. Keep shining light on degeneracy and faux conservatism. This is our nation. Well, thanks. I will. Jake says, when Emperor Fuentes is crowned, all he forgive credit card debt for his people? Or will he forgive credit card debt for his people? This super chat brought to you by Discover Card. No, sorry, you're going to have to pay your debts. Debt forgiveness is cringe. Don't spend money, okay? If you don't get in debt if you don't spend money. To some extent, you kind of have to blame people for getting into debt. I mean, there are extenuating circumstances, but generally, you just live within your means. Bill says, a new fag here, been really enjoying the content, but sadly, I'm still Texas first. Well, that's okay. Monochrome says, Nick waits patiently for Monster Truck. Monster Truck doesn't spawn. Me screaming, okay. Harry Butt says, what do you think about Trump's pardon of Lawrence, Goldstein, and Gallagher? I don't know anything about that. V-Dash says, is it a good idea to expose Ben Shapiro by asking him to denounce the ADL and the SPLC, which for Zionist reasons he won't? Yeah, that's a good idea. Punish Chewy says, I saw Alex Clark make the Epstein joke. Black pill. Yeah, very black pilling. Christopher says, I catch most of Owen Benjamin and Vox Day's live streams. For some reason, YouTube is offering me 4 free super chats to use on yours, not theirs. Well, because YouTube is based in Red Pill. Master Euphoria says, it's me, your Neapolitan co-ethnic. Thank goodness, 6 million. Okay, I'm not reading that. Uncle Ian says, of all the trees that grow so far, old Ingerland to adorn some Angloid nonsense, okay. Full Swing says, do you feel like your Epstein shirt is depreciating in value? I do, but I only paid like $20 for it. Let's see. Holocaust Believer says, that's refreshing. Says, hey, King, where do you buy your suits? Macy's. Joshua Larson says, that Faraday Speaks whack job has motivated me to never miss a day of brushing or flossing ever again. Absolutely ghastly UK nibblers. Yeah, relating to that. I'm very paranoid about my teeth. I'm very on my dental hygiene. Now that I'm, like, getting older, I feel very much pressure to not, like, have bad teeth or lose my teeth. John Lennon says, as Catholics, how should we react to heretical filth of the Amazon synod? I don't know. We've been answering this one for weeks. I don't know. Pray. Peter says, as someone else who never cared for sports ball, do you ever feel like you're missing out on something classically American? I wish I could like it. No. I also reject calling it sports ball. It's like, why make yourself lamer than you have to be? Sports ball? Like, lame. It's lame to call it that. It's really gay and cringe to call it that. No, I don't feel like I'm missing out. It's dumb to me. I don't get it, but whatever. Vintage says, hey, Nick, these super chats suck, by the way. These are all bad. Vintage Chuckles says, hey, Nick, it's crazy for me to look at you and see someone that is the same age as me that is doing a show like how you do and have it be a success. I envy that, but that's a sin. Keep up your hustle. Well, thanks. Yeah, I am crazy successful. Very true. Noah says, is Hulk Hogan based? Yes. ASDS is in this gospel. Matthew called them Israelites until the crucifixion. After he called them Jews, they rejected the Messiah and the Logos. Jesus attacked the Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees today? Jews. Completely correct. Kiyoshi Photo says, Molyneux didn't name you but addressed the Groyper War and Holocaust. I'm surprised he treats you like this while putting out a series explaining statements he's been slandered by. Yeah, the guy's a coward. That's okay. I'll never talk to him again. He's dead to me. Yoltz Terrence says, remember when you debated that Lulbert Adam Kokesh? I still LMFAO listening to it. Yeah, I do remember that. Okay. Sard says, the white American underclass is enthralled to a vicious, selfish culture whose main products are misery and used heroin needles, says the Real Conservatives, a National Review. Yep. Unknown of Life says, hey, Nick, don't trust bald men. They are evil. Well, I don't go that far. I know some good bald people. Astoreth says, just as Jesus threw the moneylenders out of the temple, so he must throw the grifters and neocons out of the movement. Ave Maria. Yes, true. Adam says, what do you think of Gavin McInnes? He's a little more lax on immigration than yourself, but you remind me of him. Shout out from Boise, America First. Well, I don't know why I remind you of him. I don't shove things in my ass. I don't kiss, Milo or men or things like that. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're both, you know, ostensibly right-wing and funny. Maybe that's where the similarities end. No, but I like Gavin. I think Gavin's funny. I always liked him. You know, I liked him when he was on Red Eye. I liked him, for the most part, on The Rebel. But just some of the stuff, he just turned this corner where all of a sudden he felt like he had to kowtow or something. And I know, you know, there's practical considerations, but just can't watch that content anymore. I can't. It was funny when it was edgy and it was out there, and now that it's safe and now that it's, you know, it's just not the same. But I like the guy. I think he's funny. I don't have a problem with him. Yamato says, is race mixing communism? No. Justin says, hey, Nick, just wanted to say that I finally red-pilled my boomer dad after having him watch the Ohio State live stream. He finally understands how awful Conservative Inc. is, and he's watching the show tonight. Oh, well, very good. Glad to hear it. Congrats. Not many boomers get red-pilled, so, hey, good on you for converting him. Akimbo says, which is a Christian? Is it he who worships Christ or he who sees Christ in himself? Probably he who worships Christ. I don't know. Kind of a dumb question. Rudy says, keep up the good work, big guy. Thanks. Sean says, these super chatters be like, dear Nick, I wrote you, but you still ain't calling. Yep. Inner City Democrat says, Judas was the first Judeo-Christian. Yeah, very true. Zach says, Papa John is worth looking into. Had his company stolen. Dude, okay, hello, new fag. Try and lurk a little bit more. He had his company stolen because a PR company used roleplay to get him saying something dirty. He's our guy, pissed off and rich, powerful ally. Dude, do you not remember the whole campaign? We did a whole campaign when it happened. You're telling me? Boniface says, if someone quoted St. Paul or St. John Chrysostom or other saints to Matt Schmitz and others like him, they would condemn them as racists and anti-Semites. They are cowards in defending the social kingship of Christ. Yeah, very true. Senseless Tunings, is this better than Crowder? Yeah. Inner City Democrat says, sorry, Nick, you can't make fun of me being Anglo anymore. I just found out 2% Italian. I just found out, you mean you found out you are 2% Italian? Enjoying the shows a lot more now. 7 p.m. sharp. Bada bing. Okay, yeah, that's anti-Italian hatred, but I'll let it go. Mandar says, Molyneux goes on tweeting about Jews and advocating for white identity, and he goes and does this disavow BS. I wonder if he thinks his fans are too dumb to not figure out what's going on here. It's just shameful. Just shameful. Disloyal, cowardly, it's despicable. You know, that kind of thing is just so low. I know it seems like a small thing, but it's so low. It's so small. And the guy just proved that everything he says is a lie. Everything he says he's unserious about. Oh, philosophy and the truth and all. Okay, you're an actor. You're a fucking actor. Philosophy. Oh, I've dedicated my life to philosophy and the truth. Except for when people make jokes. And, you know, and then the media comes down on me. Okay, well, I hope it's worth the Cernovich retweets, right? I hope it's worth the Candace Owens retweets. Maybe you could get on Dave Rubin again. I hope that works out for you. Hope you could get into the American Priority Conference. Kaka says, Axios shared a deep fake of Nixon warning others depicting powerful people doing awful things may be on the way. Pick that apart or just bookmark it. Yeah, deep fakes. Tyson says, time for an alternate CPAC AF pack hosted in Deep Red State as to not get cucked down. Malkin, Buchanan, Tucker, blah, 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 all these names. Yeah, great idea. Wish somebody would have thought of that. It's going to happen. West Nat says, Nikki, you and your groypers messed with the wrong one. You don't want to mess with the Supreme Dark Lord. Keep this up and I'll have to write a strongly worded book about you. Anyway, have some money. Yeah, these people suck. Vox and, these people are just a joke, man. Just a total joke. Imagine being their age. Imagine, you know, what is Owen Benjamin, like 40-something, and Vox is 51, and they probably agree with everything we're doing. The criticisms of Conservative Inc., they hate these guys as much as we do, and they're spending their days counter-signaling me either for clout or because they're emotionally wounded by what I've said about them. It just doesn't get any smaller than that. Andrew says, go off, King. Thanks. ASDF says, Matthew 21:43, therefore I say to you that the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and shall be given to a nation yielding the fruits thereof. Yep, that's exactly what he said to you know who. Truth Seeking Missile says, the only logical conclusion as to why Molyneux and others with whom our values align have disavowed you is that they are compromised. Pay close attention. Yeah, groundbreaking take. Jews says, Revelations 2:9, know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Oh, I've never heard this before. Adley says, I don't know why people watch Stefani Malin Blue. Okay, I don't know what that means. Hellgraph says, in 2015, YouTube, you ever watch nature documentaries? The one about lions? Okay, don't know what that means. Facetious says, what's your problem with Stryker? I heard him mention a while back that you don't like him, and he was as confused as I am. Oh, well, he's a faggot. Lindsay says, outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the blah, blah, blah. Okay, thanks. Oh, wow, I just love the spam. I just love the spam super chats. Dat Nibba says, the Chad schizo POC woman yelling outside my apartment versus the virgin all-white, old white liberal woman who can't get past her into their condos. Is she based? Yeah. Potsticker Groypers is coming to Chicago for Christmas. Any must-hit restaurant recommendations? I'm not telling you. No, I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you any restaurant recommendations. You can look up all the normie ones. I'm not sharing them with anybody. You want a super chat and ask restaurant recommendations, I'll tell you Portillo's and Giordano's. Okay, that's the best you're going to get out of me. I'm not revealing the esoteric secrets. I'm not letting some outsider invade our culture. Potstickers is coming. Oh, I just read that. Base Gentleman says, Kushner might get a fraction of the wall built just to placate Trump's base. Well, he welcomes infinity legal immigrants into the country. Yeah, great theory. Royal Prick says, I have the opportunity to go to both SAS and CPAC. I know you said to hold off on getting CPAC tickets, but should I pick up SAS ticks if I have an invite? Just do travel accommodations. You can, if you want to go to the SAS convention, buy SAS tickets. If you don't want to go to the convention, then don't. We're going to have our own thing for SAS. We're going to be in West Palm Beach. We're going to be hosting our own event. If you want to go to that, you just got to buy plane and living, or rather rooming accommodations, lodging. But if you want to go to the SAS convention, why is this hard? Should I buy CPAC tickets? If you want to go to CPAC, buy CPAC tickets. If you don't buy them. We're going to do our own thing. CPAC will be going on at the same time. If you want to go to our thing and not CPAC, don't buy CPAC tickets. If you want to go to our thing and CPAC, buy CPAC tickets. Not hard. Not hard. Same with SAS. Duh, should I buy SAS tickets? I don't know. Do you want to go to SAS? If you do, buy the tickets. I don't, really? These super chats are just like, I don't get it. I don't get it tonight. Based Serbian says, do you prefer AF Pack or Nick Pack? We'll have that figured out soon. Maga says, I'm voting for Bloomberg. Congratulations. Dan says, want to hear another joke, Nick? A burger joke. Thanks. Willie says, I'm hoping this will be the first super chat I sent you that gets read all the way to the end. Okay. Sammy Davis Jr. says, low key, high key, that Halo 3 would have been released before Reach, but it is what it is. Any plans to play on stream? No. Moist John says, Nick, I think you need to be strapped to a chair and forced to watch a bunch of films showing the oppression gays go through. It'll make you tolerant. That's so funny, bro. I'm wheezing right now. Webbs says, my sister has identified as a man for 2 years. My parents support her, and I know she's taking testosterone. How do I save my sister? Blackpilled. I don't know, dude. Tell her to not be a man anymore. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. How do you save your transgender sister who's been trans for 2 years and has support of her parents? Talk to her. Convince her not to. Pray for her. What can you really do? Joe the Boomer says, Nick, DM me about the thing. Okay, yeah, I'll get right on that. I know it's really important. Ben says, and on that burger, can I get 13 slices of cheese and 50 caramelized onions? That's great. Brutalist says, little boy, says cuss words. Okay, I don't know. This is something about Owen Benjamin, but some kind of schizophrenic has written this. Patrick says, Sabaton is based in Red Pill. Okay. First Amendment says, my mom is a legal Filipino immigrant. My dad was a white veteran. I support stopping legal immigration. But how do I rationalize this with my mom's origins? I don't understand how you would need to. Everybody should be against immigration. Chad says, America goes down the tubes first. Yep. Chop says, please take my shekels, okay? Anon says, damn, e-girls really so repulsive they turn Tyrone's gay. Yep. Social Observer says, did I just hear you would debate the Dork Lord? Nope. Boopers says, the funny part about the Spencer burger quote is actually imagining Spencer eating a hamburger. Also, I would kill for an excuse to wear a Chad suit. Inner City Democrat says, are you red-pilled on the Blade Runner question? Do you think Deckard is a replicant? I don't know. I didn't watch the first Blade Runner. I started watching it. I fell asleep in the middle of it, and I missed most of it. So no, I don't know what that is. Jared says, did you see JLP ridicule that Turning Point fag? No. I read an article about it in one of my favorite publications, the Daily Groiper. Perry Abel says, the dough rises, yes. Chop says, new Groiper here. Thanks, Nick. A year ago, I was watching Shapiro and Crowder talk about cringe SJWs. They don't care about securing America's futures. That's so true. N-Words says, any opinions on TFP student action? I don't know what that is. Donald says, you hate Jews. No, I don't. Actually, I love them. Love them more than anything, but thanks for the money. Mr. says, as recently as 2014, base Guatemalans sent Moloch Ian's packing. There's still hope in this world. Okay, don't know what that means. Edwards says, Michael Knowles today says blacks polling at 34% in support of Trump and uses this to say Nick and followers are proven wrong. Yeah, we'll see what the exit polling looks like. I think that's the proof is in the pudding, right? Tyler says, it's actually really gay and cringe to have MAGA as your Klan tag. Okay. Baby says, hello, Nick. Joe Bernstein here. I wanted to ask you some questions for an interview. Do your parents know you're a Nazi? Yvonne says, went to basic training with a Nigerian guy, and he was totally based on the woman question. Literally wouldn't listen to any femoid, including drill sergeants. Yeah, they're pretty based, but, you know, maybe they should just be based in Nigeria. Joseph says, free super chat. Thanks. Worst thereof or beast is Ryan Dawson is very slow and Native American. Yeah, case in point. Barry says, Jeremiah 11:9, brothers. Okay. Tyler says, anyone know? Okay, can't read that. Christian says, keep up the great work, big guy. Thanks for everything you do. Yeah, thanks. L. Ron says, did you see Andrew Meyer get owned on the sweat yesterday? I saw some clips of it. It was pretty funny. Chris is getting asked about my America First mug at work. Priceless. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Euphoria says, you didn't read my hilarious and ironic epic cookie super chat, but the last part was about Joker 2. Did you hear it's in early development? Yeah, I did, but I'm skeptical, honestly. Aaron says, no hope, Nick. All coworker and friends don't believe in God anymore. Always bring up the priests and the crusades. Feeling lost. Okay, well, just stop being gay. Scott says, remember to red pill your grandma at Thanksgiving. Yeah, don't do that. Jordan Peterson says, hey, Nick, have you spoken to... No. College reactionary says, the last words Epstein ever heard, the Clintons send their regards. Many such cases. Yeah, that's funny. Big Olive Oil says, fries between the... I just scrolled down too far. Fries between the bun and patty. Thoughts? Yeah, it's based. Jansen says, Steve Franson is cringe. Disavow, he's not cringe. He's based. Atrid says, found a neat documentary about Owen. Okay. Jewel of Denial says, new viewer, I'm obsessed. First time hearing about this stuff. Please tell me Michael Savage is your uncle and E. Michael Jones is your grandpa. Yeah, definitely not on either count. I'm a wife, mom. When you talk about women, I can't stop lulling. Well, thanks. I'm glad you like my show. We love moms. We do love the mothers. You know, some of the women, obviously problematic, but we love the good mothers. So thanks for watching. And I'm glad you enjoy. I'm glad you're not offended. My mom gets very offended. I have to, you know, be nice to her. I have to say, you know, it's okay, Mom. I'm just joking. Whatever. But no, I'm not really a Michael Savage guy. And EMJ, there's some significant disagreements. I would say my uncle would be Patrick Buchanan, right? Fuck my fucking allergy. Sorry for the language pissing me off so much. Jeez. It's the super chats, it's the allergies, I'm losing it, I'm going off. I need this vacation, man, I need the holiday break. People keep telling me it's cocaine. You don't sniff when you do cocaine, you don't sniff like that, it's allergies. Jewel, we've got a repeat super chat here, okay. JP says, Kathy Zhu says you're the father, yeah, okay. Yamato says, are Filipinos based? I don't know any Filipinos, except for James Alsop. John Strong says, stop ducking Teddy Spaghetti. ASDF says, I mean, I know I'm pretty cool. My MAGA hats, my Macy suits, I got the juice. Okay, Chance the Rapper, great. A Sig Nothing says, free money. Okay, thanks. That's our last super chat. That's going to do it for us on the show tonight. Wow, epic end. Epic end to the show tonight. Glad to be here. Remember to subscribe to the channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, thanks for watching. Thanks to the Super Chatters. Wow, thanks so much. Remember, we will not be here Thursday or Friday. I'm taking the holiday off, and I won't be here next Monday either. Some things happening, which you'll see on Monday, but we'll be back the following Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow, but then we'll be back the next Tuesday. But that's our show. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks to everybody that watches. We love you, folks. And we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.